energy so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree. We used to be so happy. We used to have everything we need. Now we gotta
welcome to Village Mentality, where melanated people are connected in spirit, love, and community. What's up, kings and queens, beautiful people everywhere? It's your girl, CK McGee, and I'm your host. Hey there, beautiful people. How's everyone doing? I pray as always that you're doing as well as you can be. Welcome back for another episode of Village Mentality. I'm so glad to have you all here with me in the village, and you're welcome to join me each and every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Although I have to remind you, Village, that March 29th, which is next Wednesday, Village Mentality will be going on hiatus, but we will return in May with a whole new season, all right? So just before you start to miss me, I'll be right back. Now, I'd like to give a warm welcome and shout out to those of you who may be tuning in for the very first time. And if you're looking to see what Village Mentality is all about, then you're welcome to catch up on all previous episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public, and The Awaken Lounge. And I also provide links to each episode on both Instagram and Facebook, and I'll be sharing those with you at the end of the show. But thanks again to all of you for joining. As a mental health and wellness advocate with lived experience with mental health conditions, each week I'll be talking about different topics that could impact our mental health. Now, I'm focused on BIPOC communities because, as an African-American woman, I am extremely concerned about communities of color and their mental health. But as far as mental health is concerned, it really doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, because we can all be impacted, and that is something that we all must know and understand. Now, we may not all have mental illness, but we do all have mental health, and we need to make sure that we're taking care of it. Now, the purpose of this podcast is to bring awareness to the many different ways in which our mental health can be affected, showing that poor mental health outcomes are not always caused by chemical imbalance, but it can also be from the various stressors, trauma, or circumstances that we all face from time to time in our lives. Through education and advocacy by individuals like myself who have lived experience, whether it is with mental health conditions or substance use, the hope is that we will be able to show up in more effective ways to support those around us that may be suffering. The stigma of mental illness and conversations about mental health can be more difficult for marginalized and intersectional groups, and it actually interferes with our ability to take care of our mental health as we should. Now, self-care is a very important tool, and I encourage us all to use it in our daily lives or to at least set some time aside for it on the weekends. There are so many different ways that we can practice self-care, especially when we view it holistically, right? Consider ourselves as a whole being. The benefits of learning to take care of ourselves, it extends beyond us, and it has a positive impact on all those whom we encounter. Now, for someone who's in crisis or who may be experiencing emotional distress, self-care is going to be the furthest thing from your mind. I get it, I understand that. But in all truth, self-care is something that we all grow into. It's not an automatic practice, especially if you've been in crisis. But what's important about it is that when we begin the process of learning how to identify the things that we need to do in order to take better care of ourselves, not only do you feel good, but you'll be able to show up for others more effectively. Now, self-care as a whole involves tending to your body, intellect, your mind, your practical needs, social needs, and your spirit. To practice self-care, beautiful people, you need to actually make time for it, right? When you work to nurture all parts of yourself, there's a good chance you'll be happier and more balanced. So to my kings out there, are you listening? Self-care for you may look like interacting with friends and family, maybe even coworkers, because social interaction, it can improve mood and well-being. And it can also offer a sense of belonging. You know, giving back to others can be another way of improving your mental and physical health. It may help you to feel good about, you know, taking some time out of your day to help others. Getting a good night's sleep can help everything seem better, right? So don't forget to change those sheets regularly, fellas. It can help you get a good night's sleep. Also, take some time to meditate. Just a few minutes of meditation every day can help to ease anxiety, stress, and improve sleep. And it can also give you a greater sense of self, all right? A greater sense of like awareness of yourself. And guess what, kings? You too can take care of your skin. Having a skincare routine helps your skin look fresher, younger, and taking the time to care for your skin can give you that quiet time that you need for yourself during your day. Also, it's important to find your passion, kings, right? It can help to boost brain power, build confidence, and make you feel happier. So find something that you love to do and dedicate some time to doing that for yourself. All right, fellas? Now, self-care, it's for everyone. And we need to realize that it's about self-preservation. Kings and queens, think about the way that we take care of everything else that matters to us in our lives, right? But for some reason, we're so hesitant and we feel so guilty, right, about doing that same thing for ourselves. And we need to put things into the proper perspective with regard to our overall health. We need to do everything we can in order to replenish all that energy that we put out into the world when we're doing for others. So please take the time to practice self-care, check in with your needs, and live each day in a way that protects your mental health, because it is an integral part of your total well-being. Self-care helps us to rejuvenate our spirits and souls so that we can continue to be the fantabulous kings and queens that we most definitely are. And I'll be right here to remind us of that fact every chance I get. You dig? Now, if you've heard the show before, then you know that there'll be plenty of music too. So, you know, we've been listening to music from some of our favorite queens all throughout this month in recognition of Women's History Month. And there's no way at all, honey, that we could ever forget the biggest queen of them all, the Queen of Soul, Miss Aretha Franklin. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Now, without further ado, I believe that it's time for me to take my first walk of the evening to my musical jukebox. Starting us off this evening, Village, is this song that was written by Jeffrey Cohen and Narada Michael Walden. Now, this song features a notable contribution from Clarence Clemons, the saxophonist from Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, while singers Sylvester, Martha Wash, and Jeannie Tracy provided backup vocals. It was released in 1985 as the album's lead single, and it became Miss Franklin's highest charting single in 12 years, reaching number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, while topping the Heart Black's single chart for 5 weeks. Here's Aretha Franklin with Freeway of Love.
top, baby. Now let's cruise on into this better than ever street.
That was I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. That's a deep song, isn't it? It was released in 1967 by Atlantic Records, and it was the first big hit of her career. In fact, it became a defining song for Franklin. It peaked at number one on the rhythm and blues charts and number nine on the pop charts. Well, Village, you know me. I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk about some things, about, you know, current events. It could be about entertainment or something that's just on my mind. So why don't we get into my segment called Let's Talk About It.
Thank you.
Okay, Village, so all month long, I've been talking about self-harming behavior because it is self-harm or self-injury awareness month. I feel it important to remind everyone that is listening this evening that awareness is prevention. Now, I know that there are those out there who will say, oh, but we need to do more than that. True that. But we need to take the very first step, which in and of itself can make a world of difference. Awareness, okay? The more that we learn about something, the more we have an understanding of it, right? Some of the things that we didn't understand or we didn't even know existed, right, but could cause harm to someone that we love and care about, we need to be better equipped so that we can provide effective support for them. And if it's you that's dealing with it, the situation, the condition, the struggle, then to be able to receive or to seek effective support for yourself, right? So those things are important to remember. So I've mentioned that self-harm is the act of purposely abusing your own body through methods like burning or cutting. And in the spirit of awareness, I'd like to share a few stats with you. So self-harm is said to affect 4% of adults, 15% of teenagers, and between 17 to 35% of college students right here in the United States. For the people who self-harm, they frequently say that they feel empty, lonely, or misunderstood. Self-harm is not considered to be a mental illness, but it indicates a lack of healthy coping skills, and there have been some mental illnesses that have been associated with it, such as depression, borderline personality disorder, disordered eating, and post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Now, as I've been reading about self-harm, beautiful people, I see that there's another condition that it's related to. Now, so far, we know that self-harm, which of course is self-explanatory, is about the individual themselves, right? But there is another dimension, so to speak, that I'd also like to share with you, again, in the spirit of awareness. It can sometimes be referred to as self-harm OCD or OCD harm, all right? It's said that OCD sufferers self-harm as a means of dealing with their intrusive thoughts. It serves as a coping mechanism for their anxiety. Self-harm OCD is when a person has unwanted and repetitive thoughts about harming not only themselves, but someone that they love. I've seen it where there can also be a fear of harming a stranger, or they may think they've harmed someone in the past, but they're not able to recall it. They live in fear of losing control and acting on the images in their head. When they begin to experience this, they might start to distance themselves from others and potential triggers, you know, by sleeping in a different bed, for instance, from their partner, or removing knives from their home, or by limiting the time that they spend around their loved ones. This distance can quickly lead to depression. And one thing that we need to remember is that people self-harm in order to relieve pain. And the part of the brain that's involved in the pain experience is the same for both physical and emotional pain. So for instance, when you cut, your brain becomes distracted from the emotional pain and focuses on the physical pain instead. Now, if you are experiencing intrusive thoughts about self-harm or currently engaging in self-harm, please know that you are not alone. Treatment is possible. And like I always say, do your own research or consider seeking the help and support of a mental health professional. As always, I hope that this information has been helpful to you. Here's to brighter days. Okay, kings and queens, I'm sure that you've heard a lot more lately, at least these days, that Black history is something that we should be able to talk about all year round, and that it does not have to be just in February where we celebrate it, but more recently, people are recognizing that it can be celebrated all year round and that Black history is American history. Now, how wonderful it'll be when everyone is able to realize that and that they'll have a willingness to both acknowledge, that there were painful parts, as well as the contributions and achievements that African Americans and Black people have made in this country. So, here in the Village, that's what I'll be doing all year long. You feel me? So today, in Black History, specifically March 22nd, 1873, the Spanish legislature passed a law abolishing slavery in the colony of Puerto Rico. The decree mandated that although slaves were legally quote-unquote free, they were forced to compensate their former owners for the loss of their quote-unquote property by paying for their freedom with 3 years of labor. I mean, just think about that, will you? Freed slaves could work for their former masters or for other people in the state who forwarded the quote-unquote wages to the former master at the end of the term. The decree also prohibited Black Puerto Ricans from having voting privileges for 5 years following abolition. Trying to tell y'all, they've always been messing with that vote. They know how important it is when we vote. The question is, do you? Now, there were over 29,000 Africans who were enslaved at the time of abolition, comprising about 5% of the overall population of the island. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Black History Wednesday. This next song was released in 1968 from her Aretha Now album. The song reached number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100, becoming her 7th top 10 hit here in the U.S. The song also reached number 1 on the Hot Rhythm and Blues Singles Chart, becoming her 6th single to top the chart. The song was written by Franklin and her then-husband, Ted White. Franklin re-recorded the song in the Atlantic Records New York studio for the soundtrack of the 1980 film The Blues Brothers, and in 1989 for the album Through the Storm. Pitchfork placed it at number 15 on its list of the 200 greatest songs of the 1960s. Here's Aretha Franklin with Think.
I didn't even know you, you couldn't have been.
This next song was written by her younger sister, Carolyn Franklin. Now, I see that talent runs in the family. It was released on her acclaimed Lady Soul album. Now, this song peaked at number 16 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 9 on the Hot R&B Singles chart in 1968. Carolyn and members of the Sweet Inspirations performed background vocals on the track. Now, the Sweet Inspirations founder was Sissy Houston. And if that name sounds familiar, it should, because she was the mother to the late Whitney Houston. She showcased her operatic upper range during Franklin's Bridges and the ending of the track. Here's the Queen of Soul with Ain't No Way. And when we come back, I will get into today's topic.
Me to love you if you won't let me. It ain't no way for me to give you all you need if you won't.
Ain't no way,
baby.
Ain't no way.
Okay, beautiful people, I'd like to talk with you this evening about acupressure and acupuncture as ways that may be able to provide some relief with regard to our mental health. Now, if there's one thing that I've learned as a person who lives with mental health conditions, it's that there's always more than one way to skin a cat. Traditionally speaking, there was never really any talk that recovery was even possible, much less that you could be in the driver's seat determining what your recovery journey would look like. Sometimes based on the severity of your symptoms, you may have been institutionalized and heavily medicated, and might I add, not always treated very well. There are a lot of people who think that taking medication is the only way to help symptoms of, say, you know, depression or anxiety, for instance. And don't get it twisted, there may be a need, or that may be a choice for some people. But it does not necessarily mean that it is so, you know, for everyone else who lives with mental health conditions, you know? Although I was told by one of my therapists years ago that I would be on medication for the rest of my life, I remember that I immediately rejected that idea. For one, during times when my symptoms were at their worst, my attendance, for instance, would be something that would suffer when I was working. And between hospitalizations and just not being able to be present at work, it would eventually cost my job, right? It would cost me my job. And then there goes my insurance. So without the insurance, you can't necessarily get the medication, right? And this is years ago that I'm talking about. So I wasn't really privy to all that was available, you know, especially things that might be available today that maybe weren't back then. The only thing that I thought was that I didn't want to have to live to take a pill to make me feel better or to make me feel happy. I decided I wanted to learn how to manage my mental health conditions differently. It has not always been easy, trust me when I tell you, but I'm learning more about myself as I attempt different things to help alleviate my symptoms, and none of them require a prescription. Now, all I've heard, you know, I think we've all heard about acupuncture, right? I believe we've all heard about acupuncture. I don't want to assume anything. But maybe like within the last year, it was like the first time that I had heard about acupressure, you know? So I didn't realize that they could be used as treatments or therapy to help with depression or anxiety. Now, both of them originated from traditional Chinese medicine. Many physicians recommend either of the techniques for various ailments, as they help release muscular tension, which I could use that just for, you know, I could use it for just that alone, right? It helps to improve blood circulation, reduce pain, and improve the overall health of your body. But what's the difference between the two? Okay, now, our body has hundreds of acupoints, which are also called energy points. And they're located on channels of energy. And these energy channels are called meridians. When these meridians are blocked, it causes pain, discomfort, health conditions, etc. And if external pressure is applied to these points, it can help open blocked channels, thus providing relief from various types of aches, like with your back, your neck, headaches, right? Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds good to me. And just again, with that alone, because backaches, neck aches, headaches, definitely experience those. And I believe I could totally benefit even if we were just talking about that alone. But in addition to all that I've mentioned, acupressure and acupuncture can also help in spiritual healing. And they help in reducing the appearance, of wrinkles. They can reduce stress. And you know we all need that, right? And they can even help with trauma. Now, in acupressure, manual pressure, usually mainly the fingertips, are applied to acupoints. Pressure can be applied using elbows or knuckles, etc. In acupuncture, this pressure is applied using extremely thin needles that are strategically placed on certain parts of your body. When it comes to efficiency and effectiveness between the two, the number of studies and trials performed on acupuncture are more as opposed to acupressure. So that may be the reason why acupuncture is the preferred, you know, treatment, right? As it provides a stronger stimulation with respect to your body's healing. Now, as I mentioned earlier, both can help with treating backaches, severe neck pain, headaches, and also things like arthritis, nausea, insomnia, and queens. They say that it can also help with pain from, like, you know, period pain, as well as migraines. Now, in some cases, it also will help with emotional disorders like anxiety and depression, etc. Both of them are pain-free procedures, all right, which will require you to have regular seatings, okay? It's important to consult with your doctor, I should mention that, before opting for these treatments, but it's so good to at least know that they're there, right? Now, acupuncture is beneficial for depression because of its ability to regulate energy flow throughout the body and its ability to stimulate the production of endorphins, which are essential for mental health and well-being. Endorphins are the feel-good chemicals released in the brain. Acupuncture can also help relieve anxiety symptoms by reducing stress hormones like cortisol, increasing levels of serotonin, which is known as the happy hormone. That's one of the benefits of it for anxiety. Regulating also the autonomic nervous system. So, Village, let me share with you some other reasons, if you're living with depression or anxiety or both, why you may want to consider acupuncture. First of all, it works. Through a meta-analysis of various research studies on acupuncture and depression, acupuncture can significantly reduce the severity of depression. Number two, it's an alternative to toxic medications. It virtually has no adverse side effects, and when used as part of a holistic approach to treating depression, it can help you heal depression naturally. Oh my goodness, I would love to experience that, right? Number three, as I mentioned before, it releases endorphins, and endorphins are a hormone that acts as a natural painkiller in the body. So when the needles are inserted into sensory nerves just below the skin surface, the body stimulates a response in the immune system, which increases circulation to that area of the body, and it triggers the release of the endorphins. Four, it can reduce inflammation. Now, since the needles act as tiny wounds throughout the body, acupuncture prompts an anti-inflammatory response from the immune system as it combats small invasions, right? Now, this is increasing evidence that chronic inflammation can keep you depressed, all right? I mean, just kind of think about that. If you're always like in pain, could it stand to reason that it could make you feel a little bit blue, a little sad, a little depressed, you know? Five, it's relaxing. It's relaxing. Most people find that their acupuncture visits are extremely therapeutic. They're extremely therapeutic. And some may even fall asleep during the session. I ain't mad at that. I would love to feel that kind of relaxation in my body because I tell you the truth, Village, I feel like I'm always tensed up and I feel like I hold a lot of anxiety in my body. So that was depression. Here's how acupuncture can help with anxiety. For those of us who are struggling with anxiety, acupuncture can be a game changer. Now, in one study, researchers found that just 8 weeks of acupuncture treatment significantly reduced symptoms of generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, GAD. Acupuncture can help relieve anxiety symptoms by reducing stress hormones like cortisol, increasing levels of serotonin, the happy hormone, regulating the autonomic nervous system, and calming the mind and promoting relaxation. So, just in case you were wondering, acupressure can also help with depression and anxiety. Remember that the difference is acupuncture uses the tiny needles, and acupressure can be like fingertips or elbows that are also applying pressure to the energy channels or meridians throughout your body. I encourage you all who may be interested to do the research, all right? See if this, in fact, may be something that can be helpful to you. Here's to brighter days.
Swallow.
Now, Village, I know I don't have to tell you what the name of that song was. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. Now, Aretha Franklin had already been performing her version of this song by Otis Redding for years in her live shows. She and her sister Carolyn thought that the song should come from the woman's perspective. Can you believe that this song originally was a ballad? But the great Otis Redding turned it into a funky, upbeat record, and it was one of his favorites because he really liked the groove. And I really like the way the Queen of Soul sings it, and it became her signature song. And it was followed by Until You Come Back to Me, a song that was written and originally recorded by Stevie Wonder in 1967. And after he played it for Miss Franklin in 1973, she recorded it, and her version climbed the R&B charts. Okay, beautiful people, it's time for this week's inspirational story. And the title of the story is called Coffee on the Wall. Coffee on the Wall. Here's the story. Two friends sat in a well-known coffee shop in a town close to Venice, Italy, known as the City of Lights and Water. As they were enjoying their coffee, they noticed a man enter the coffee shop. He sat at an empty table right beside them. He called the waiter over and he placed his order saying, "Two cups of coffee. Put one of them on the wall." The two friends were rather interested as they listened to this order being placed, and they saw that the man had one cup of coffee while paying for two. After the man left, the waiter put a piece of paper on the wall that read, "Cup of coffee." Just then, there were two other men that entered the coffee shop. They ordered three cups of coffee. They were given two cups, and the waiter placed a piece of paper on the wall with the words, "Coffee of Cup," written on it, just as he had for the man before. Finding it a bit perplexing but interesting, the two friends paid their bill and left. A few days later, they were at the coffee shop again, enjoying their coffee, when a poorly dressed man entered. As he took a seat, he looked at the wall and said to the waiter, "One cup of coffee from the wall." The waiter served the coffee with courtesy, respect, and dignity. The man had his coffee and left without paying. The waiter took a piece of paper from the wall and threw it away. It was then clear to the two friends of what was happening and the compassion that was shown to those in need by the people of this town. It was indeed moving. They thought about how someone in need could come into the coffee shop without feeling less than or having to lower their self-esteem by having to ask for a free cup of coffee. They know nothing at all about the people who are paying for the coffee, right? All they do is look at the wall and place the order for themselves, enjoying the coffee, and then they're able to leave. Now, what's the moral of the story, beautiful people? Think about a world where you can succeed by simply being nice. If all we could do was pay it forward and just look out for one another, imagine how different this world could be. And it could start with just one act of kindness at a time.
Hey!
used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. You're the key to my peace of mind. 'Cause you made me feel.
Was Who's Zoomin' Who, which was written by Franklin, Preston Glass, and Narada Michael Walden for her 13th studio album of the same name, released in 1985. It serves as the follow-up single to Franklin's chart-topping smash, Freeway of Love, which reached number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart that same year. And at the same time, it spent 4 weeks at the number 2 spot on the Hot Black Singles chart, behind Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder. And it was followed by our last song for the evening, beautiful people, Natural Woman, which was written by Jerry Goffin. And the music was composed by Carole King. The record was a big hit, reaching number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it became one of her signature songs. Now, Carole King herself recorded the song for her 1971 album, Tapestry. Among the numerous cover versions of the song included versions by Mary J. Blige and Celine Dion, both of which charted in the same year, 1995. At the 2015 Kennedy Center Honors, Aretha Franklin performed the song to honor award recipient Carole King. Well, kings and queens, it looks like we've come to the end of another show. I do hope that the information provided will be of help to you. Remember, it's always a good idea to do your own research, no matter what the topic is, especially if your life is involved. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, and I'm looking forward to being with you all again here in the Village next Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember, it'll also be our season finale. We'll be going on a short hiatus, and we'll be back again in May with a brand new season of episodes, okay? Now, please be sure to follow Village Mentality on Instagram at villagementality.ckm as in Mary, and on Facebook at Village Mentality the Podcast. You can also catch all episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public, and there's a link to each episode available, again, on Instagram at villagementality.ckm as in Mary, and on Facebook at Village Mentality the Podcast, as well as theawakenlounge.com/village-mentality. And just remember that God has got me and he's got you too. Be blessed, beautiful people. And here's to brighter days.
So stale in the air, everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree, we used to be so happy, used to have everything we need.
Yeah.